やめてたまるか。お前と俺は売れたからさ。
一生かけた
一度の絆、
心配するな、
抱
いてだけの最高だって。ずっといつまでも、ずっといつまでも殴り合って、けなし合いて、立ち返る。
And welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the DKP here at WrestlingObserver.com and FWOnline.com. And I'm here with one of my favorite guests that we've ever had in the show, and one of our most regular guests, the cherished, the loyal, the great Excalibur. Excalibur, how you doing, sir?
Doing quite well, Alan. Thank you very much. And, you know, I do have to ask, is this show has been the Dr. Keith Lipinski show longer without him than it was with him.
He was on it a couple of weeks ago. He made his big return, yeah.
Oh, wow, amazing.
He was on it talking all about Chikara and their upcoming IPPU. I think I spoke, like, 5 words during that whole show. He was finding a way to ask himself questions and answer them himself. It was a real night off for me.
Well, you know, I mean, once it's like when I'm on commentary, you know, I just can't help myself from talking. Even if I'm like the number two man, I can't help from taking over, though.
The number two man to like good old Dior?
Good old DR, or when I was doing NWA Hollywood, I was technically supposed to be Color, but I took over a couple times.
Oh, really? Yeah, I watched a few of the end. I need to get back on. That's something that I need to add to my pile of to watch list, is some more NWA Hollywood. Because I remember seeing some of the matches that, like, the Cutlers were having with Good Time and Yuma, and I really enjoyed them. They had one brawl, like, that ended up on the street that was pretty cool.
Yeah, they went out right onto Melrose, and it was pretty wild.
Yeah, quickly on NWA Hollywood, like, in the last few months, like, when you've been doing it, have there been any real great matches that spring to mind that people should check out?
I actually stopped doing NWA Hollywood about three or 4 months ago. So.
Well, there you go. Now I have no reason to check it out.
Yeah, I dare.
So how long were you doing it for, like, a month? Because you only started recently. Like, it wasn't that long ago that you started.
I did it from about January to May, and the reason I liked it is because they were running on Saturday afternoons. And so I would be in Hollywood at like 8 o'clock on a Saturday night, and I could go see a show, or I could, you know, hang out with people. And then they started doing like Sunday afternoons, which is just like the worst possible day for me because I'm still in San Diego. So I'd have to drive up there, do the show, drive back, you know, with all the traffic coming south. And it was just a nightmare.
Yeah. Oh, well. Everyone still check out NWA Hollywood.
Yeah. They're doing good stuff over there, and the people, it's good people. So yeah, I definitely recommend them.
So let's talk about a different promotion, a promotion you were a bit more close with, that being Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and quite the popular company these days, Mr. Excalibur.
Yeah, it's we seem to be finally catching on. It only took us 8.5 years.
Yeah, it's the dreaded buzz where it has been thrown around quite a bit for PWG. It's definitely got a lot of talk, got a lot of great things going on. Some of the recent shows have had some really great things happen, and some upcoming shows have some things that are going to happen that look like they could be even greater. And let's start talking just with some of the stuff that went on recently. The big Steen Wolf show, which is soon to be out in DVD, of course, headlined by the huge ladder match between Kevin Steen and El Generico, and then the return of one Mr. Super Dragon. And I gotta ask, you obviously, as everyone knows, I'm sure, quite close with the Super Dragon. You've gone back a long way with the man, both in terms of an enemy and a friend. And you work closely with the man. And in the PWG offices, like, were you noticing little hints being dropped, or little clues, like maybe he'd be eating salad for lunch instead of a big sandwich, or he'd be sneaking off for a run just like before work, or things like that. Maybe finding some running gear under his desk. Were you getting tipped off maybe to the fact that he was planning a return?
Well, you know, I didn't think he would ever be back, and I think I've said as much on this show, and it just, you know, and basically anywhere somebody would ask me, I would say no, he's not coming back. And so when I saw him starting to get back into his wrestling routine, I just figured, oh, you know, he's getting back in shape just for health reasons. You know, I mean, he's just, you know, both he and I are getting older. We're both banged up and, you know, I mean, it's good to see him not, you know, I mean, we both have bad knees, and I mean, I try to keep my weight down as a way of, you know, also staying physically fit, but also alleviating the pain in my knees. And I figured he was doing something similar because he's had, you know, well-publicized knee problems as well. But then, you know, I mean, he really started to a couple months ago. I mean, he really started kicking in gear, and I mean, he was just, you know, basically he's eating like, you know, chicken breast and green beans every meal, and it's a miserable existence, but you know, that's what you got to do. And you know, then finally, when Steen Wolf rolled around, I was, you know, I'm on the commentary table, so I can't, you know, I obviously don't know what's going on backstage, but Johnny Yuma actually texted me, and he just texted me OMG like 20 exclamation points, and that was it. And then the lights hit, and you know, it was just bedlam.
It was indeed, and that's on YouTube for anyone that wants to check it out. The DVD will be, I think it's shipping this coming week from what I've gathered, and but you can check out that show closing angle with the Return of Super Dragon on YouTube, and it was something else. I was over in England for the Dragon Gate UK shows the same weekend that that happened, and the morning of the second show, I woke up and everyone was going, oh, did you hear what happened with PWG last night? And I was like, ah, don't tell me. I'm gonna go. I just decided there and then I'm gonna go unspoiled. I'll find out what happens when I watch the DVD. But then all day people were like, oh, the PWG results. Oh my God, crazy stuff happened. And I was like, oh, what the fuck happened over in PWG? And I didn't end up finding out that weekend, and a couple of days passed, and then I read something about Super Dragon. I was like, oh, it's Super Dragon back, holy shit. And so I caved, and I looked at everything that happened, and I was like, oh God. And then the video came online, and I was glad I had read the spoilers, because then I was free to watch the video, and it was quite great. And the Young Bucks taking a beating from Super Dragon like only they can. And the formation of the Appetite for Destruction tag team, Super Dragon, Kevin Steen, and they're gonna roll into the next show in December and guerrilla warfare with the Young Bucks. So what better place to start than that?
Yeah, it's you know, it's a match that you know, as you mentioned, I've known Dragon personally for, you know, a long time now. Probably 15, 16, maybe 16 years, which is, you know, the better part of our lives. And recently, you know, I mean, I talked about him getting back in shape, but, he, you know, I mean, when you retire, when you walk away from wrestling, you still get the itch. I get the itch sometimes. You know, I'll see a good match, or I'll see somebody that I'd like to wrestle against, and I kind of, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, I should get back into this, but then I think about waking up sore every night, and I'm like, ah, fuck that. But, you know, Dragon, he's been saying for a long time, actually, since the Bucks' first title reign in PWG, that he'd love to wrestle the Young Bucks. And, you know, I mean, it was just kind of, you know, I think we both kind of wrote it off as like a pipe dream, thinking that, you know, his days of wrestling were kind of over with. And then, you know, something just got under his skin, and he got super motivated, and he made his big return at Steen Wolf. And it's really the perfect match for him, because Kevin Steen needed a partner. The Young Bucks are kind of they're in a position where they don't have a lot of challengers within PWG. We had to start looking outside of PWG to find challengers for their titles. And so this gives them a fresh challenge and a huge challenge for them to overcome, and really kind of cement the legitimacy of their second title reign.
Yeah, and it's you mentioned the looking outside PWG for challengers, and Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly being the most recent example. From everything I've heard, that match was right up there with the ladder match as far as tearing the house down on that show.
Yeah, I mean, really, I don't know if I've seen a stronger second half of a show than we had at Steen Wolf. I mean, just ever. Like, you know, I mean, it's not to say that the first half of the show was bad or anything, but I mean, it's just the second half of the show was just nonstop, just excitement and excitement, excitement, and just the build. And then, I mean, the day of the show, everybody was looking forward to the ladder match, the, you know, Super Dragon thing was, you know, not even, I don't think, anywhere on people's radar. And so when it actually did happen, it, you know, like, or when El Generico grabbed the belt, he tore down the ventilation system by accident that it was hanging from. But after he grabbed the belt, you know, the roof just about came off the place. And then when Super Dragon came out, it got somehow even louder. And so, yeah, I mean, it was such an amazing atmosphere. And, you know, people used to bag on Reseda, and I mean, there are the problems with the venue in Reseda, but I think, you know, now it's so much a part of PWG that people have embraced it. And I don't think anywhere else in the world we could have pulled it off like we did in Reseda.
And to go back to the big match, the big guerrilla warfare match, we've seen in some of the guerrilla warfare matches some real beatings dished out. You've been involved in some, but I think many fans are expecting that this match, like the Young Bucks, they've shown they can take a beating, like the Roderick Strong and Brian Danielson match, for instance. But with what Super Dragon and Kevin Steen have done to people and each other in guerrilla warfare matches, do the Young Bucks know what they're getting themselves in for?
I think they, they have to know. Just, I mean, Super Dragon and Kevin Steen on reputation alone, you know, what they've done to each other, even if they've never seen their the Steen and Dragon Guerrilla Warfare match from, I think that was Astonishing Xmas, available right now on ProWrestlingGuerrilla.com DVD. But even if they've never seen that match, I mean, they just have to know just from sheer reputation. Kevin Steen has wrestled the Bucks numerous times, and, you know, Super Dragon just has this reputation of being, you know, a bruiser, for lack of a better term. And so, I mean, they know they're in for a beating. With Danielson and Roderick, it was kind of like, it was like a focused beating. You know, it's like the Danielson and Roderick kind of, you know, they took them apart. There was the chops, the kicks. I mean, they brought them all over the building. But I think with Super Dragon and Kevin Steen, it's going to be more like just an all and out fight. Like this is what would happen in a bar. And, you know, it's not going to be pretty. And, you know, if I was the Bucks, and I think they would be very scared. I know I would be if I was the Young Bucks, because you've got a super motivated Kevin Steen and an even more motivated Super Dragon teaming up for the first time in God knows how many years. And they're just going to make an example out of the Young Bucks. And I think the Young Bucks are, I don't know, I feel sorry for them.
Yeah, they've shown those surprising amounts of resilience and toughness in those kind of situations, and you never know. They may have a trick or two up their own sleeves for that match, but it's definitely, I'd say it's probably one of the more anticipated PWG matches of all time, and I don't know, how would you feel about that? I'm sure there's been some other really big ones in the past, but this one really, with everything that's led up to it, and again, the buzz around PWG right now, it's for me, it is probably the most anticipated match yet.
Well, I definitely think so, because, I mean, you've got two types of fans coming into the show. You've got the fans that have been around, they've seen Super Dragon, they know what he's capable of, and, you know, they've just been waiting all this time for him to come back. And then you also have the fans who are, you know, kind of new to PWG or new to independent wrestling, and they've only heard about Super Dragon, you know, maybe only seen him on DVD, or maybe not even have seen that much. They just kind of know him by his reputation, just, you know, spoke about in hushed tones. And so they're going to get to see him for the first time. And, I mean, that's huge. And, you know, especially when you have a team like the Young Bucks, these guys are, I think, without a doubt, the most talented tag team in professional wrestling. And, you know, I mean, every time they go out there, they just put on better and better and better matches. You never think it's possible, but they somehow are able to do it. And so you've got, you know, this highly anticipated comeback. You've got Kevin Steen, who this feud with the Young Bucks has been building for, it's just been simmering for about a year. And then you have the Young Bucks, who are just, you know, these phenomenal athletes. And it's, you know, it's a hugely fortunate thing for PWG that we're able to put on this match. And really, this entire show is way more loaded than it needs to be.
Yep. But,
you know, it's just, you know, when we have a good thing, we want to make it as good as possible. And
hey, you're ending the year on a high. Why not?
Yeah, that's true. And then we're starting the next year on a high.
We'll get to that, yes.
But, yeah, so I think, you know, I mean, I, I think, you know, those two types of fans, the fans that want to see Dragon return and that want to see him for the first time, just that type of energy and that type of anticipation makes this one of the most, probably the most highly anticipated match we've ever had.
And when all that went down at the end of the show in Steenwolf, one man was kind of left out of the picture a little bit, the man who had just won the PWG title, El Generico. So with him not in this main event tag match, what do you do with him? Why, you just bring over Dick Togo, one of the greatest wrestlers in the history of the planet, to come over and wrestle Generico in what I believe is a first time ever match. And holy shit, this could be... This is just there's certain matches that just seeing the guys just lock up and wrestle, like just even just exchanging an arm drag or whipping each other against the ropes or whatever it may be. It's just like, holy shit, these two guys are wrestling. El Generico and Dick Togo. This is like a perfect example of that. So, that's got to have been, I think for you yourself, being a big fan of Dick Togo, a hell of a dream match to put together.
You know, it's one of those matches where I see it on the card, and I still can't believe that it's actually taking place. I mean, I'm such a huge Dick Togo fan. Just everything about Michinoku is what got me into professional wrestling. It was Michinoku in the mid-90s, and then All Japan in the mid-90s. And that's, you know, I mean, that's where my heart in professional wrestling lies. And so to have somebody like Dick Togo, who I always thought was easily the most underrated guy in Michinoku, to have him wrestle against El Generico is, I can't tell you how happy it makes me. I mean, Dick Togo, he's such a phenomenal base for guys. I mean, you look at...
He's a phenomenal everything.
Yeah, no, it's true. But, I mean, you know, you look at Ray Jr. and Psicosis, when they had their series, you know, in Mexico, and then they brought it to ECW. Without Psicosis, Ray Jr. wouldn't be, you know, multiple former time WWE champion. I mean, yeah. he wouldn't be anything. It's because he's made him look like $1 trillion. And Dick Togo has done that for guys his entire career. And, you know, I mean, he's also, I mean, he goes beyond being a great base for guys. I mean, he's just a great wrestler, period. But then to have him in there with somebody like El Generico, who, you know, I mean, his match with Kevin Steen, they know each other so well, but Steen is also, you know, he's a great base for Generico, and so I mean, to have Togo in there is so I can't wait to see what these guys are capable of.
Yeah, if you can't tell the legitimate excitement in Excalibur's voice when talking about this, I think it's pretty obvious, and I think these two guys are they're going to tear it up. And for anyone who, like, Dick Togo, as a lot of people know, is on his like retirement tour, and a lot of people, when they think retirement tours, might think guys kind of coasting at the end of stretch and taking it easy, having a nice simple end of their run. And but Dick Togo, for anyone who's seen any of his recent stuff on this retirement tour, he has been just kicking ass and taking names. He's been looking better, like almost as if he's at the peak of his career right now. And it's crazy that he is retiring, but my God, what a body of work he's leaving behind. And I think this could be the gem of this retirement tour, because I don't think he's come up against many wrestlers who are as good as El Generico in this run, and they could really do something special. But let's move on then to card, and a match I'm really interested in seeing, because I just recently watched the Super Smash Brothers debut match in PWG from Perils of Rock and Roll Decks, and they really got over big on their first foray into California, and they go from the frying pan into the fire, because we're waiting them as the American Wolves, Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards, two guys who I believe beat the tar out of the Super Smash Brothers once on ROH TV. And this is a big match for the SSB, and I think this could be a real dark horse to steal the show.
Oh, I think this is a show where every single match on the card.
I think I'm gonna say that about three other matches now that have been the card.
But I mean, we were super, super happy with the Smash Brothers and their match with the Rock Nest Monsters at Perils. They, you know, they kind of they came in. They've I wrestled Player Uno in one of my last matches. That was in Chikara, and it was a fine match, but I didn't think anything of it. But then I saw how he kind of progressed and how he grew in Chikara and then in Ring of Honor. I was like, wow, this guy is, he's really stepped up his game. And then along with Superfied Player Dos, they work so insanely well together that, I thought they would be a perfect fit for the Reseda crowd. And, you got one big strong guy and one, shorter flippy guy. And that seems to be, with Steen and Generico as a tag team with, so many other guys, that seems to be a great formula, and they have that. And then they also, they can also connect to the crowd super well. And so, Rockin' as Monsters are, in terms of fan support, probably one of, if not the most popular tag team in PWG. And so to have them come in here, face those guys, and then resonate with the crowd so much was, is really encouraging. And so, yeah, we want to give these guys as much of an opportunity as they can to succeed not only with the crowd, but actually to succeed in the ring. And so, maybe this is not such a great opportunity to succeed in the ring, but it's still going to be a chance for them to, go out there and, put on the best match that they can with two of the top, top professional wrestlers in the world.
Yeah. And, I just think this is going to be just, these two teams are going to complement each other really well. I'm really excited to see that match, but, another match I'm excited to see, what I have deemed the 2003 JAPW special, the Amazing Red versus Roderick Strong. This is a match team. Just two guys who have been around for a while now on the indies. They've been everywhere, and they're just both awesome. And Red, of course, recently a lot of time spent in TNA and hasn't really got to show. He's been able to show that he's really got his career. He's got himself back in shape. He can still be a really good wrestler, but he hasn't got many opportunities to shine recently. Roderick Strong, of course, always shines in PWG, and I think Red. I don't think Red's ever wrestled in PWG before. I think he's really going to be. I think the crowd are really going to respond to him well, and they always respond well to Roger. So I think this match has huge potential, also.
Yeah, it's it was a match that I was actually surprised to see taking place. I know. For those that don't know, Super Dragon was he was on a couple month tour of All Japan Pro Wrestling. It was 6-7 years ago. I'm not even sure how. Maybe more than that.
I think it was 2003.
Yeah, so, yeah, almost 10 years ago, Jesus Christ. But while he was there, Red was also there, and Red was also living in the dojo. And so, they kind of, being the only foreigners at the dojo, they kind of, they hit it off, and they've stayed in touch on and off since they came back to the States and kind of went their respective ways. But, we've kept our eye on Red, that was the thing. We saw him in TNA, we saw how he's kind of being misused, he's a guy that we know is capable of so much more. And so, who better to give him an opportunity to show what he's capable of than Roderick Strong? Roderick is, he's such a phenomenal guy to put against high flyers. He's such a phenomenal base, for high flyers, whether it's Jack Evans or Pac or, whoever, Ricochet, just anybody. He gets in there and, he's able to, he's able to toss these guys around like they're nothing. And, and Red is, he's a high flyer, but he's added a little more impact to his style. And I think that will complement his, Roderick's style just of all, total impact, total nonstop impact, very well. And so, yeah, it's a match, another match that I'm super excited about. And yeah, it is Red's first time in PWG, and first time maybe in California. Was he on WSX? I don't think he was, but Super Dragon was actually supposed to wrestle Amazing Red on some indie show in like Central Coast California, and then Red couldn't do it, so it ended up being Brian XL, and it was a very bizarre match.
Brian XL randomly showed up in an Evolve show earlier this year, and I didn't hear from him since. It was I was thinking for a second there, maybe the grand return of Brian Axel was going to take over the Indies. I'll give him credit. He tried. He attempted the one move that, like, nobody attempts. Like, with all the crazy high-flying moves, nobody tries to do the Jody Fleisch 720 or whatever it is, 720 DDT. And Brian Axel attempted that move on that Evolve show, and it did not work out for him. But God damn it, his heart was in the right place. And maybe any basic red will try that move on Roderick Strong on this PWG show. We'll see. But you can let that be known to the PWG locker room, Excalibur. That's my challenge to them. I want someone to hit the Jody Fly 720 DDT clean in the middle of the ring. So the next thing we got on the docket is the team of Starrcade 89, Future Shock, Adam Cole, and Kyle O'Reilly against the Rock Ness Monsters, Johnny Goodtime, Johnny Yuma, and I'm itching to see the Young Bucks Future Shock match. Their matches in Ring of Honor, there was one that was just like 10 minutes with a non-finish, but it was just like some of the coolest 10 minutes of tag wrestling you'll ever see. And from everything I've heard about the PWG match, it's even better, and it's longer, and it's just so good. So I can't wait to see that match. But I think once I see that, I'll be even more hyped up for this, because the Rockness Monsters, they've just been getting better and better, and they're really, the crowd, as you mentioned, they've really taken to these guys, and they're firm, solidified favorites in PWG right now. So this should be a hell of a match.
Yeah, I actually did commentary on the Young Bucks Future Shock match from Steamwolf with Davey Richards. He wasn't doing good old DR. He was just, you know, regular Davey Richards. And that, you know, I mean, he was afterwards, I think he leaned over and he said to me, he's like, that was the best match, you know, with the Bucks that they've ever had, and, you know, one of the best matches that I've seen them in. So, I mean, that's a huge compliment coming from Davey Richards.
Damn, it sure is.
And so, you know, they're another team that kind of came in to PWG cold. You know, obviously the internet indie wrestling community knows who, you know, like the Super Smash Brothers, and knows who Future Shock are. But, you know, I mean, we've got quite a few fans that you know, they're not on, well, they're on the internet, I mean, but they're not part of, like, the internet wrestling community. And so maybe they just have a passing familiarity with them, or, you know, maybe not even heard of Cole and O'Reilly before. And so when they came in and just had this, you know, this blowaway match with the Young Bucks, it's, you know, how could you not like these guys? And so it's, you know, it's only natural to put them against two guys who have just been going out there and killing it month after month after month, and, you know, in Goodtime and Yuma. And, you know, Johnny Goodtime, he's been trying, I don't know, he's kind of lost his smile, as it said. And he's been trying to look for an opportunity to walk away from wrestling, or maybe to take some time off. But then we keep putting him in these awesome matches, and he keeps having even more and more awesome matches, and it kind of reinvigorates him, and it gets him to the next show, and it gets him to the next show. So I think our goal with Johnny Goodtime is to keep giving him these good matches to have, and so he ends up sticking around.
He's like, no, this is I'm done, guys. I'm at the door. You're like, we got Kenta and Mara Fuji for you next. Come on. Like, oh, fine. I think, like I said, this is going to be a hell of a match. And, it's again, two probably fan favorite tag teams. Maybe we'll see Cole and O'Reilly take it. Like I saw them in WXW go more the Rudo route for this match. And, that could work out quite well too. So, it'll be interesting to see. But, the next match, Kenny King and TJ Perkins. And I kind of wanted to bring up at some point during this conversation, that two of the matches on the Perils of Rock and Roll Decadence were two of my just most underrated matches from PWG this year, and just didn't get a lot of hype, but goddamn, they were enjoyable. And one was the Bucks against Joey Ryan, Scorpio Sky, which was tremendous. But the other was TJ Perkins versus Eddie Edwards. I just thought as just a pure pure wrestling match, and this was an absolute clinic. And TJ Perkins was, he just found his feet once again in PWG with just no problems whatsoever. And did he wrestle on the last show?
Yes, he did.
He did. Who did he wrestle on Steenwolf?
He wrestled Rocky.
Rocky
Romero.
That was probably a very nice match too. But yeah, him and Kenny King, upcoming. That could be really good. I don't think they've had a singles, or they might not have even wrestled each other at all yet in ROH. But yeah, it could be really good.
You know, I think knowing the Southern California Indies and the random nature of this is probably a match that's taken place like 30 times in front of a combined 26 people.
I always forget that Kenny King's out west. I always forget that. So, so that's a good point.
So, I mean, it is a match that has maybe have taken place before, but never on this level, I don't think. And, it's a phenomenal match, and on any other show it would be much higher up the card. But on here, we've rattled off I think five other matches before even getting to this. And yeah, this is another match that I'm really looking forward to, because TJ, he's always been one of just the most slickest professional wrestlers. I don't mean like slick like in attitude, but I mean just like in terms of his execution, it seems so effortless and flawless. And Kenny King is another guy who just, I mean, he has this, he has this surprising agility and fluidity to his wrestling. And I think these two styles really will complement each other well. And, King is probably, he definitely is a little stronger than TJ. But I think, I think there will be some really, really nice back and forth exchanges in this one. And I'm really eager to see what these guys are capable of together.
And a staple of PWG shows is the just big take a load of people and throw them in a crazy tag match and involve Candice LeRae, and it'd be awesome. And this is a fine example of that on this show. You got Pretty Peter Avalon, Ray Rosas, who I've heard really good things about. I've yet to see, but again, really good things. And the Dynasty, Joey Ryan, Scorpio Sky versus Famous B, Chris Cadillac, Willie Mack, and the aforementioned Candice LeRae. And this should be wild and fun, and get the crowd. Is this going to be the opener, or are you going to go with the remaining matches as the opener?
I'm not sure, actually. It might. I don't know. I don't want to say either way.
Yeah,
don't come late to the show either way. That's my advice.
Wherever this match is on the card, I'm sure it's going to really really heat up the crowd, because the Reseda crowd loves these type of match.
Yeah, and so wait, are you telling me that you figured out our formula? Just take a bunch of guys and throw them together and put Candice on one of the teams? I mean, we thought that we had that well protected. That's like Colonel Sanders' famous recipe.
Hey, yeah, it works.
It's a formula that's worked well for us in the past. I mean, it's a formula that in PWG I've been a part of many times, at least in the early days of PWG.
Who played?
And it's a great opportunity for us to take young local guys like Ray Rosas, Famous B, and Chris Cadillac, guys that are kind of getting finding their footing here in PWG, and giving the crowd an opportunity to just to become familiar with them without putting them in a big singles match where maybe they might not be ready for it. I mean, that's we've done that a couple times, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but I think this is the best way, especially with guys that are relatively young. I mean, I think of, obviously Joey and Sky have the most experience. But then after that, it's like Candice, Avalon, Willie Mack. And then, just kind of like in descending order in terms of how much in-ring experience these guys have. And so this is a great opportunity for them to get comfortable in front of the PWG fans and, really, really show off what they can do. It's almost like a spotlight match where it's like, this guy, you might be seeing him for the first time, but he can do some pretty crazy blowaway shit. And so, look out for him in the future.
And, as noted, there's one more remaining match, that being Los Luchas, Phoenix Starr, and Zocray, who've been around PWG for a long ass time now. And they're taking on the Fighting Taylor Boys, Brian Cage Taylor. What's his nickname? Mr. Gets His Shit In, or is that it?
GMSI.
Get my shit in. Brian Cage Taylor and, Mr. I am jacked out of my mind, Ryan Taylor.
Yeah, Ryan. Honky Tonk, Ryan Taylor. According to Chuck Taylor, anyway. But, Los Luchas made their return at Steenwolf. They wrestled the Dynasty, which is, Joey Ryan and Scott Lawson. That's, you know, that's a match that's happened, you know, in Southern California quite a few times. But it was a match that we were really happy to see because Los Luchas, they've been, you know, they've been in and out of the scene, the professional wrestling scene here in Southern California, but they're always, you know, I mean, the fans love them, and they're such great guys and such great performers that we love to have them on our shows. And so to have them back wrestling full time is a huge thing for us, and we're really excited. And Ryan Taylor and Brian Cage Taylor have been kind of like under the radar, having some pretty awesome tag team matches together. I mean, it's like they're not our most popular tag team, but I mean, they've kind of found their chemistry together, and they're really like exploiting it for all it's worth. And so I think against Los Luchas, this is the perfect type of match for them because, you know, Brian Cage and Ryan Taylor are just, you know, I mean, they are big, just beasts. And then you have Los Luchas, who are, you know, more used to being high flyers, but actually now Zocre has been doing, he's been competing in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And so he's now incorporating a little of that actually into his Lucha Libre style, and it made for a really interesting mix. And he and Scorpio Sky actually had a great sequence at Steenwolf where they kind of drew upon their respective MMA influences.
Yeah, Scorpio Sky had an MMA fight, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, and he won his fight, I believe, in the third round. And so
for him.
You know, but it's really interesting to see them, how they bring that outside influence into professional wrestling and how they incorporate it. And you know, so that's been really interesting to see with Sky. And now that I see Zocre doing it, obviously, Sky is doing more all around MMA, whereas Zocre is just doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, like, you know, Gi on Jiu-Jitsu and Gi and Mask on. But, you know, I mean, it's really entertaining to see how he incorporates that. And it'll be really entertaining to see how he incorporates it against these two much bigger guys.
Hey, the last man to do MMA or combat sports in a mask, he's just held the WWE title recently, so maybe some big things are in Zocre's future.
Do you think he'll ever have his rematch with Krokop?
I would hope so. Like, he's lost the belt now. They may be looking for a feud to put him in with other people tied up. Just bring in Krokop. Why not? Show that, the clips of that match over and over again, and you got yourself a nice pay-per-view semi-main event there. But December 10th, 8 p.m. PWG Fear. It's going to be an amazing show, and if you can get there at all, you should absolutely try to. And if you can't, like me, get the DVD, and it's gonna be an awesome one. And anything else to plug for that show, Excalibur?
No, I think that's it. I mean, we do still have a few general admission tickets available, but I think it's going to be a pretty tight squeeze getting into the Legion Hall this time. So if you are listening to this and if you are considering coming to the show, I definitely recommend buying your tickets in advance. We absolutely hate to have to turn people away, but just, I mean, based on the strength of this card and the pre-orders and, you know, just everything that we've been reading, I think we might. I hope not, but we might have to turn some people away.
Now, so, not to lose sight of this show forthcoming, but we have to skip ahead to 2012, in fact, because there has been a match signed for your first show of 2012. It is the Never in Your Wildest Dreams match. It's Never in Your Wildest Dreams 6-Man Tag 2, and it is for a Kurt Russell reunion in Los Angeles, where all the Dragon Gate guys are going to be in. You've got, and I'm hustling to try and get the match pulled up in front of me, but screw it, I'm going to try and do it off the top of my head. We got Kevin Steen, Super Dragon, and Tozawa versus what? Generico, Pac, and Masato Yoshino. I'm right, am I?
Yes, you are.
Good stuff. Okay. That's going to be... I don't know what to say about this match, Excalibur. I'm lost for words.
It's, you know, it's a match that I think when you emailed me asking to do the show, I said, you know, we were gonna do like a mini site or something, you know, for the Wrestle Reunion shows, and we still might. But you know, this is the kind of match where if anybody was considering coming to Wrestle Reunion and maybe leaving Sunday before our show takes place, this is the kind of match that I think will make people change their mind. It's, I mean, it really is a Never in Your Wildest Dreams match. It's like the first one was pretty insane. That was, it was the Young Bucks and Brian Kendrick versus, or yeah, Brian Kendrick versus the Motor City Machine Guns and
Shima.
And like, that's just like an insane combination that could only happen in PWG. And then now this match is really an insane combination that could only happen in PWG. You know,
yeah.
for you know, whatever respective contractual or, you know, whatever things, it's like, I mean, PWG, it's really like this magical gray area in the world of professional wrestling. We are like international waters. If you want to, you know, race, you know, do a horse race where you have shotguns while you're playing roulette, that is the type of thing that could happen in PWG. You know, it's just we're like this total gray area in the world of professional wrestling, and we're so happy to be able to embrace that.
Yeah, and this, I suppose one question that comes to mind is you've a load of Dragon Gate guys coming in for the show. I don't know the list off the top of my head, but it's like Mochizuki's in, Shima's in. There's some big names here. Masato Yoshino, what was it about him that made you feel he was like the perfect guy to put in this match from that group of guys?
You know, I think it's the fact that of the remaining guys, or of the, not the remaining, but of the Dragon Gate guys, he is the most, I guess, the most speed oriented. So it's like you've got Dragon, you've got Steen, who are, you know, these two bruisers, and then Tozawa, when he teams up with Steen, I think he's a little more hard-hitting than he typically is, you know, when he's left to his own devices. He feels like, oh, you know, Kevin's beating the shit out of this guy, I gotta beat the shit out of him too. And then so you put him in there with Dragon and Steen, and he's gonna feel like, oh, I gotta really beat the shit out of these guys. But then you have Generico and Pac, who are, you know, Generico maybe not the purest high flyer, but definitely a very fast-paced wrestler. Pac, very fast-paced wrestler. And Yoshino is just about the most fast-paced wrestler on the planet. And
yep.
So I think it's really just a kind of speed versus power match. And
yeah, I really like the addition. I really like the inclusion of Yoshino in this. I think he adds something to the match. So that, while all the other guys, like in Dragon Gate, like Mochizuki's, like amazing, the best wrestler in the world maybe, but like just something about Yoshino's fit in this match I really like, and I like everything about this match. I think everyone does. Like, I think the reaction to, as you mentioned, you just put it on Twitter instead of doing a mini site, and it was like far easier. But wow, did it create a lot of talk, because everyone was just losing their minds about this on message boards across the internet. It's going to be a crazy match, and it's a great match for people to realize, oh shit, it's PWG isn't just going to peak at the next show with Guerrilla Warfare, and then it's all downhill from there. It's like Guerrilla Warfare will end, and then there's like, oh my god, this amazing match to look forward to still. It's, and the return of Tozawa, and just like, everyone knows what everyone who saw a PWG show in like the first half of 2011 knows what Tozawa in PWG means, and it's his return there is going to be pretty cool. And yeah, it's not in Reseda, but after seeing like the last Kurt Russell reunion, like that show was awesome, and the crowd there were really into everything, and I don't think it really hurts too bad by not being in Reseda. I think it's still going to be a really, really cool atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, sentimentally speaking, it would be nice to have Tozawa back in Reseda. But, I mean, I think in terms of maximizing our, you know, our potential audience by having all the Dragon Gate guys on the show, by having this show, you know, as part, you know, as like the exclamation point on that Wrestle Reunion weekend, it's, you know, I mean, I think, you know, having it in the ballroom and, you know, in the hotel, you know, where we can accommodate, you know, 1,200, 1,500, how many ever people, that is, you know, the perfect place for it. And so, you know, like I said, we don't want to have to turn anybody away in Reseda. And I think this is the type of match that if you couldn't get in, you know, on December 10th, if you somehow got turned away, you would make damn sure that you could, you'd make it to this match, and we're just making it just a little bit easier by having it in a much bigger venue.
And I've gone onto the PWG Twitter at official PWG to get confirmation of all the list of Dragon Gate guys that will be on the show. We got BB Hulk, Mochizuki, Shima, Naruki Doi, Susumu Yokosuka, who's made a few forays into PWG over the years, Masato Yoshino, Pac, and Akira Tozawa, and yeah, that's a hell of a lineup. Any yeah. of those guys you're just maybe really interested in seeing and looking forward to see?
I am totally looking forward to seeing Mochizuki because I've never gotten to see him in person. Or what, you know, when we in the earlier days of PWG, when we kind of had an unofficial working agreement with Dragon Gate before Dragon Gate USA was even an idea. Mochizuki was one of the guys that always wanted to have come over, and you know, just for whatever reason, couldn't, you know, just wouldn't come, or not just wouldn't come, or we just couldn't get him. He was either too busy or whatever. And so now to have him on the show is huge for me, because I remember Mochizuki when he was in war.
Wearing the gi.
Yeah. And, you know, he was, I can't remember what the tag team was. They were like the Karate Brothers or something, but, and I think, wasn't Taro on that team too?
Yeah, I just listened to an amazing, I don't know if you're familiar with Jay of the Dragon Gate USA site. He did a really, really great history of Toriumon podcast last week, and they talked all about those days. I think it was called the Buku Dojo, was the karate guys stable. But yeah, him, Taru, there's a couple other guys. Like pretty much owner or president or whatever you'd call him of Dragon Gate, Okamura, he was like originally a part of that karate stable.
Oh really? Shit, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, yeah. He'd always you'll see him on recent enough shows. He'll come out and like do karate exhibitions, and whenever he'd be involved in like a Stalker Ichikawa match, he'd always be wearing like his karate gi. But yeah, Mochizuki, he goes way back. Super J Cup 95. Against Otani.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, that's a match that, you know, I'm really excited, or not a match, but I mean, that's somebody that I'm really excited to see. I mean, it's great to have all the Dragon Gate guys, or, you know, I mean, to have any of them on our shows. I mean, that's always a huge thing for us. But I mean, Mochizuki, personally speaking, is the guy I'm most excited to see.
Part of me thinks Mochizuki versus Johnny Yuma would be a great match.
Johnny Yuma and his glass jaw.
yeah, so big things to look forward to in 2012 already for PWG. So Excalibur, I put out before doing the show that we'd be having you on and request some questions, and we got a lot in. Let's delve into some of them quickly before we let you go. Steve Weiser on the F4W board asks, favorite wrestler to commentate with, and some of the things you've been tempted to say on commentary but just couldn't.
Well, if I couldn't say it on commentary, why am I going to say it on here?
That's a good point.
Yeah. I think I answered this question maybe last time, and I don't think the answer has changed too much. I like calling matches with Chuck Taylor, and I love calling matches with Chris Hero as well. And Davey Richards, I thought he did a really good job just doing regular commentary on the Future Shock Young Bucks match. And so I mean, he quickly became one of my favorite guys. And then I also really like calling matches with Joey Ryan too, just because I think he and I have a good rapport and we can kind of BS. We've actually gotten I can't believe it, but we actually got in trouble for BSing too much on commentary. I never thought I'd see that day in PWG come. But yeah, we got a talking to afterwards. They were like, hey, you know, you guys gotta actually call the match and you can't talk about bullshit for 10 minutes.
That's amazing, considering like some of the back in the day DVD releases with you and the Disco Machine or Taro, and just yeah, like the nonsense that would be taught. It was brilliant, but it makes me want to break out some really old PWG DVDs right now and just like watch a match involving like I'm forgetting his name now, the guy who went to Bobby Quantz. Watch some random Bobby Quantz match while you guys are talking about like some movie from like the 1970s on commentary or something like that. But a question here from Jeremy. Given the recent success of PWG, a few people actually brought this up. Recent success of PWG over the last years, any chance for European vacation again anytime soon? And some people on another board, they brought up possibly working with them. I don't know if you're aware of the A Merchandise Group, who have really successfully run shows with Dragon Gate and Noah over here in the last couple of years. And if there's, I know there wasn't a 100% positive experience last time you were over, but is there thought being? Do you think there's potential in a PWG return to Europe sometime in the future?
I mean, it's always a possibility, but right now, I don't think it's super likely. I mean, it's over time, it's something that's kind of, the chance as you know as time goes on, it's the chances have kind of decreased, and it's, it's part because of what our focus is. I mean, we're basically, I think we've run 10 shows a year for the last 2, maybe 3 years now. And I mean, that seems to be a good pace for us, as far as, the amount of work it actually takes into putting on a show on our, on the business end of it. And then, getting the logistics of a European tour in place is just, an insane amount of work to that, and just so many different variables, as we discovered, with the European vacation too. And then, the other thing too is that the promotions in Europe, the promotions in the UK that, that we could potentially work with, a lot of them, especially, I'll give you a, for instance, WXW, after our last, after European vacation too, they took a step back and they figured out, hey, why do we need to work with PWG to do these kind of shows? We could just bring these guys on over, by ourselves. And they kind of figured that out, and that's what they've been doing. They've been having great success with that, not only just guys from America, but guys from Japan as well. And so, I think a lot of promotions are doing it. I mean, there's something, there definitely is something about the Dragon Gate or the Noah name in the UK, or having those guys kind of over there. But, I'm not sure how marketable PWG is to the casual wrestling fan in the UK. Obviously, I haven't done a lot of market research, but, Noah and Dragon Gate have worldwide followings, and they have, they have TV, they have all sorts of stuff. They have guys that are, Noah has guys that wrestle in the Tokyo Dome in front of, 40,000 people or whatever. And so, for us to try to trade on our name that much might be a little presumptuous. I don't know. There might be the interest there. There might not be. But right now, it's not something that I think we're, fully comfortable trying to fit into our schedule.
A very fair answer. Let's try another one here at you. And I thought this was a very interesting question. Do the logistics involved with running an iPay-per-view, i.e. ROH and Dragon Gate USA contracts withholding talent, come into play with digital releases? Would there be similar issues if you sold recent matches and entire shows through High Spots On Demand? I feel like putting new releases online as soon as they're edited would present a fresh option for buyers worried about shipping costs and delays.
I don't know about the contractual issues. I mean, there certainly might be, but that's not something that we've explored. Just because of, it's a great idea. We want to have our stuff in the hands of the fans as soon as we possibly can. And I mean, right now, unfortunately, DVD is the fastest way. It's not, I know it takes, 6 weeks or whatever to get you, the DVDs from the day the show happens till it's actually in your hands.
Which is a big improvement. I think even at the start of 2011, people were offered 6 weeks to get their PWG DVDs. They had to bite their hand off for that, because it is a big improvement to what it was even just a few months ago.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. I mean, changing replication companies definitely helped that. And, for all the people that bitched about the cardboard cases, you're getting, it doesn't matter what the case looks like, you're getting the DVD sooner. And that's what's most important to us, is getting our stuff in the hands of people as fast as possible. But the thing is, with High Spots and with their system set up, it's kind of like, if you're selling your content through iTunes, Apple is providing you with all the infrastructure, all that stuff to be able to sell your content digitally and to get your content out to this huge audience. And so all of the expense, all of the expense in terms of distributing the content is taken on by Apple in their case, or in the case of us, it would be by HiSpots. And so that means they take a much, much bigger share of the, of whatever profit is available, because they have to pay for all that infrastructure, because they have to pay for all that distribution. And so, right now, it's not something that works for us financially. I mean, the DVD model, I know it's DVD is a format that's only, 15 years old, but it's still, and it's an antiquated format pretty much by now, because there's so much digital distribution. But for us, I mean, in terms of our business model, it's, without some sort of new agreement or new deal being signed, it's something that works best for us in terms of where we're at right now.
Next question. Let's see. I've lost it.
Hold on, Alan. Do you have any thoughts about that? Rather than just asking, just reading questions, because I can just read questions. I'm interested to hear your perspective.
I don't really know. I don't really know the logistics of like the different technical aspects of it. But I've always thought because when you're making a DVD, doesn't the footage come from just like some kind of basically like a computer file? So like I'd be curious if it would be possible to put up an MP4 or whatever the file may be, on HiSpots, and then people can download it for a price from there, as opposed to even to streaming. And yeah, just downloading the raw AVI or MP4 or whatever it may be of the shows. Would that be something that would be a possibility?
No, even if it's not streaming, you're still digitally making that content available, and you need the infrastructure, you need the server space, you need to be able to, you need to be able to send that much data. And so
that'd be the big deal. Would it just, the people coming in and downloading would be a big cost to the website?
Yeah. And so, okay. I mean, that's something that HiSpots is able to take on because they've got this huge library of stuff. But, if we were to sell our stuff, digitally like that, then we would have to and of course we'd have to respect what HiSpots is, giving us this avenue of distribution.
And so, I'd imagine that if say Steam Wolf was released in this way on Wednesday at 9 p.m. and if it went on Twitter that it's just been released and a load of people go on trying to download it, that would probably be, if you had a load of people trying to download a 2 gigabyte file, that would probably be quite the hit to the website.
Oh yeah, certainly. And so, I mean, that's other things that you have to account for as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are hurdles, but and that's the problem with being a small company like we are. It's, we can only do so much. I mean, there's tons and tons of people that want to see our stuff and they want to see it digitally, and we want to get our stuff in their hands as soon as possible. But it just, because we're so small, the overhead involved in doing that sort of distribution is just, it's basically just too much for us to deal with right now.
Me personally, I'm not too fussy about what way I watch my shows. If I have to buy DVDs, I'm not at the point yet. Amazingly, I'm not at the point yet where I have DVDs and even VHS, because I still have a lot of VHS lying around, clogging up room. I still have more room for stuff to take on more DVDs, amazingly. But so I'm not really concerned about that. So I don't really mind whether I have to buy a DVD or if, the Dragon Gate USA shows, which I don't get the DVDs of anymore. I get everything on their WWN Live and stream it. So I don't really mind either way. And for me, the if it's 6 weeks now for the DVDs, I can totally tolerate a 6 week wait. It's not too much for me. I'm used to kind of about 2 months to wait to see indie shows. So 6 weeks is just a bonus on that. And it's fine for me as is. Obviously, I see the benefits to getting it out digitally quicker, but as you mentioned, there's a lot of hurdles to be overcome with that. So that'd be my personal feelings on it. Let's go with Max Power, who asks, what did you think of the one night format for Bola? He thought it worked out great and then limited the first night filler blaz. and such as like, I know, Ricochet versus Claudio, which was total blah last year. Was that just a matter of availability and other issues, or a thought out plan? Is that the plan from here on out for both?
The first part of his question, we were really happy with how Bola turned out this year. It's a format that we've thought about doing for a couple years now, but I think it was due to availability that it kind of happened this way. But it was it wasn't something that we just kind of backed into. It was something that we had been considering for a while, and then so when it came out that we can only get eight guys, or we can only get these specific eight guys for sure, and we can't get this bunch of 16, then we were like, yeah, we're okay with doing eight, because it's gonna be a strong show. And I beforehand, there were some people people complaining on the internet, which I know is a shocking thing, but there are people complaining about it being the one night format. And I don't think it hurt it at all, and I think,
no, I thought it worked really well. I love the, like, I was, and I wouldn't say I hated, but like, I was disappointed when it went from three nights to two nights, because I loved like the 2006 and 2007 bolos that were just like these. I'd always get them, but they always came out around before Christmas, just maybe a month before Christmas. So I'd get them for Christmas, and I remember like two Christmases in a row just watching this, like, so much PWG from those three DVDs. But so I was kind of disappointed when it went to two nights. When it went to one night, I was like, oh, that's kind of, it might not have like the Bola feel, but as a show, it worked out so well to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, the other thing you have to remember too, I mean, as far as availability, is that we went from having 24 guys to having 16 guys now down to eight. But the thing is, to get 24 guys in this in this day and age, not day and age, but in this specific time period in independent wrestling, when you have Dragon Gate USA, when you have Evolve, when you have Chikara, CZW, Ring of Honor, all these other promotions, and countless other smaller indies, all running and all trying to draw from the same pool of guys,
yeah,
it's really tough to find 24 or even 16 top notch guys to put in a tournament. And so, that's kind of why we were considering going to the single night format. And, even then we were, a couple of years ago, I know we toyed with the idea of maybe doing a single night format where it ends in a three way. So it's like, we're not going straight down to eight, but we'd still have quite a few guys. But it's, I don't know from this point forward if we're going to stick to the single night eight man format, but I wouldn't be surprised if we did. But if somehow something changes and everybody else stops running on like one magical night and we can get like 24 guys, we would probably do, or one magical weekend, we'd probably do a three night tournament if it was feasible.
Hey, you don't have that pesky TPI in the way anymore.
That's true. Yeah, they would always run the same weekend as us, and they'd always book all the guys we wanted, and then just never have their shows. But don't worry, you get a merchandise credit later on.
This is a question that I definitely won't be able to give any thoughts or opinion on, because I have no clue about this topic. Any more Faith No More show titles in the pipeline, or are they planning on switching to Mr. Bungle, Fantomas, or Tomahawk titles? And in brackets, he says, I suggest Disco Volante.
I used to have a text file on my computer just full of show names, and over the years, it's kind of dwindled. And now I think there might just be like one or two that are left on that list. So I'm gonna have to fill out the ranks. But actually, In recent months, we've been getting some suggestions. The locker room would always try to suggest show titles, and Joey Ryan has some notoriously bad ones.
Well, please tell us a bad Joey Ryan show suggestion.
The one that jumps to mind is Gentlemen, Synchronize Your Swatches. a reference to Parker Lewis Can't Lose, which was a television show that aired here in America.
Oh, I know. It aired here, too. I watched it.
Oh, did it really?
Kid. Yeah.
Oh.
It was on Sky One. I remember it well. There was the big kid in it that was like kind of, I think he was like the bully. I have a big memory of him for some reason.
Okay. So, well, I mean, while it's a reference that would not be completely lost on people, it's just, I think even for us, it's still too niche of a reference. And then it's not, I don't know. I don't think it's a particularly, particularly elegant reference.
Maybe he was using that to, like, when you maybe go with a no for that, he'd then go, oh, maybe if you don't like that name, but you like the Parker Lewis, we could just go with Joey Ryan Can't Lose.
Which is actually the case at the 2010 Battle of Los Angeles. Or as Joey likes to call it, the bootleg bola.
Oh.
But yeah, I don't have any specific names. I think, I'm not even sure if January is going to be the Kurt Russell reunion 3. I mean, it might as well, because that would make my life a lot easier, but, we'll have to see what we can do in January.
You asked me to not exclude the dumb or bad questions, because you would be...
Oh, these were the good questions so far?
Oh, yeah. These are the good ones.
Take that message toward users.
But here's one which, no offense to the guy, I'm sure it's an honest mistake, but this question you've probably answered a million times, and it's up on the PWG FAQ on the website, but we'll ask it again. Since PWG rarely does national releases, why can't you include entrances on the DVDs?
It's because of our deal with Highspots. The paperwork that we signed says that we can't use any music that we don't own the rights to, and or have express permission to use. And so that's just the end of it. It's like we don't have the license to a lot of music. Brandon Bonham and his band Barbarian Overlords, whose new album is coming out, either just came out or coming out very shortly. It's a really awesome. I've seen them play live a couple times, and they're amazing. And so luckily, because we have that relationship with Bonham, we've been able to use a couple of their songs for our stuff. And so unless they start producing, you know, hundreds of albums worth of material in all very different genres, and then continue to give us those songs for free, I don't think you'll see music or entrances on DVDs anytime soon.
His other question, probably a similar enough answer to about the trip to the UK. Would you ever do an East Coast show?
Yeah, it's the same thing. And then plus the other thing too about the East Coast is there's so much competition, you know, over there. I mean, there's so many competing promotions running there, and
the fans are shittier.
Yeah, that's true. The fans in Philadelphia are the worst. Throwing batteries at their own players.
I apologize, East Coast. You're not really shit.
No. I mean, there's bad crowds everywhere, and there's good crowds everywhere.
True.
I mean, I've wrestled in front of plenty of great crowds on the East Coast. And I've wrestled in front of a few bad ones too. So, and the same goes for California. And but except not in Reseda, we have a good crowd every time somehow. But yeah, it's same thing. You know, I mean, right now, logistically speaking, it'd be the kind of thing where we would have to work with another promotion in order to pull it off, because, you know, we don't have, you know, the connections with the venues, or, you know, in the case of Pennsylvania, with the State Athletic Commission. And so, you know, that we would need another promotion to help us out with that. And I don't know if they would necessarily think it's in their best interest to help, you know, this competing promotion come into their marketplace. God knows, I mean, that's something that we would feel comfortable doing. And so I wouldn't expect anyone else, you know, to extend that courtesy to us. I mean, it's, you know, Europe is one thing, because it's quite a fair distance for, you know, between either promotion. But, you know, in the East Coast, I mean, it's, you know, three to six at the most hour plane ride. And that's, you know, that's not insurmountable for people.
Now, I might as well try it. The other bad question here now. and let you have some fun with this one. What do Excalibur and Super Dragon do with their customers' money while they're waiting months and months and months and never getting their DVD?
Well, for fans that are also PC gamers, Steam, the distribution platform, is having a big sale this weekend. And so basically we've just been buying multiple copies of every single game that is on the Steam sale. And just, you know, the DVDs that we do have, we've just been sticking them in the – we actually got a new paper shredder here at the office, and it has a special slot for CDs. So you could do CDs or credit cards. And you can only do one CD or DVD at a time. But it makes a very satisfying crunching sound. And so as we're spending their money, we're also shredding the DVD that we would be sending to them.
Excellent answer. And what happened to Paul London? There's a question I'm interested in, because the last time I saw Paul London was actually live in England on an IPW UK show, and him and El Generico had a freaking awesome match against the Leaders. And he's 2011, I was thinking, was going to be the Paul London just tearing shit up everywhere, and then he fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah, I don't know. He's an interesting guy. I mean, I saw him, what was the last time I saw him? About 4 or 5 months ago, actually. He was at a wedding that I was at. And, you know, I mean, he's just, I think he's happy pursuing acting and then wrestling on shows, I guess, I don't know what the best way to put this is. He's happier wrestling on shows where there's less, I guess, less pressure to perform in a way where he could end his own life by accident. You know, like, where you have, like, oh, you know, SmackDown stars, Viscera, and Paul London. You know, like,
and Scotty Too Hotty will do the Worm,
right, at the such and such county fairgrounds. You know, it's a lot better to do those shows and get twice as much money than you would on a PWG show, and then have to go out there and wrestle, you know, Roderick Strong and, you know, whoever. So, you know, I mean, I can't begrudge him that. And
yeah, it's a hard thing to argue.
Reason at all? I don't know, but I mean, that's I assume. That's what it is, and just based on our kind of brief interaction, I mean, that definitely seemed to be where, you know, his head was at. That, you know, I think his acting career is now his focus, and his wrestling career is just kind of supplemental income for him.
Good stuff. Well, more power to him. This is always some people hate answering this question. I know, like, if you ask Brian Alvarez this type of question, as people often do on the mailbag shows, he'll scream. I, on the other hand, love answering these types of questions because I'm a bit of a geek, but favorite match in PWG, favorite match ever?
Oh, jeez. Favorite match ever, the thing that comes to mind is, I'll never remember the dates, but I think it was the match, well, I know it's the match where Misawa finally beat Jumbo Tsuruta.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
And then, oh, what else? I love the match where Stan Hansen gives the Western Lariat to Kobashi when he's seated backwards on the top turnbuckle.
Yeah, 93.
Yeah, and those are, I think, I mean, those two just jumped to my mind instantly.
Have you read Stan Hansen's book yet?
No, I haven't. I've
started. I haven't even gotten into the most of the wrestling stuff, but I'm already enjoying it. I'm hearing such good things that I know I'm gonna love it when he gets into the wrestling stuff. But he did a podcast recently with The Law that was apparently really good. I have to listen to that too. So yeah. Let's see. We'll just rattle through the last few quickly here, because I don't want to keep you too long. You've been very generous with your time.
What's your favorite match ever?
My favorite match ever was, it's actually, people think I will always say, like, oh, Alan, you changed your favorite match ever by the week. And I highly disputed that, but this year I have actually changed my favorite match ever twice based on matches I've seen this year. It was for the longest time, the Kobashi and Kikuchi versus the Can-Am Express 1992 Asia tag match. Yeah, and I don't know if I told you this, but I got when I met Kobashi, I got him to sign. I took a screen cap on VLC player and like put it on like photo quality paper of like them getting their hands raised with all the fans going nuts, and I brought it and gave it to Kobashi to sign. He freaked out when he knew exactly what match it was. And
amazing.
Yeah, it was the best. But yes. That was my favorite match of all time for forever and ever. But it got replaced this year by the Best of Super Juniors final, Ibushi and Taguchi. I just thought it was one of the most incredible, like just unbelievable match. And then it got topped last month when I was live at the Dragon Gate show in the UK, Shingo and Susumu Yokosuka in the main event in Nottingham. I have to kind of see that on DVD. It's calling that my favorite match ever is purely based on being there live, and I have yet to see it on DVD, but the trailer looked freaking unreal, so based on how it looked in the footage, I think I'm gonna I can see that maybe keeping hold of that spot, but that's where it is at the moment. But it was for the longest time it was that Kobashi and Kikuchi match. I also really loved the another match is at live, Danielson and McGuinness from Unified, the ROHO, where the one where Nigel took the headbutts into the post and mm-hmm. they did all that stuff. And what was the other? There's some other match that always stands out. Kenta and Ishimori versus Marufuji and Ibushi. It was like at Budokan. It was like the NTV Cup final night, I think like 2007. And there's a Kobashi Steve Williams match as well. They're really like the main ones. I might be forgetting one other, but they're the main. My first ever favorite match of all time was Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, the one where Mr. Perfect throws the towel at Shawn and Marty wins the IC title. That was my favorite match ever for a long time when I was like really first getting into wrestling. So let's see. Any plans for another sells out type DVD or any compilations by wrestler or year? He says he'd love to have more of the older footage. Well, he can always have more of the older footage by going to ProWrestlingGorilla.com/merch.
That's true. You can always do that. I think it might be time for another sells out. It's not.
How many? There's been two, haven't there?
There's only been two so far. I mean, it's not something that is like currently in production now, but I mean, it's something that I could definitely see us doing. As far as wrestler specific stuff, I don't think that we would necessarily do that. There could be, I guess in retrospect, this is a bit of a missed opportunity, but we could definitely do a Super Dragon PWG compilation, but, really, his comeback took everybody by surprise, I think, even himself. I think, up until, a few days before the show, he didn't actually know if he was going to come back or not. So that's why we were kind of ill-prepared for him to actually come back. So, I mean, that I guess, is maybe a possibility. But, I'm pretty sure there will be another sells out in the future. I just don't know when. So, I mean, that's unfortunately the best answer I can give.
This is the question I'm afraid to ask because it'll result in me being incredibly disappointed. But is there any match that PWG really wanted to book, but for one reason or another were prevented from doing so? Nothing coming to mind?
No, I mean,
have been quite, I don't want to say lucky, but some of the matches you guys have been able to put together,
I think it's because we occupy like this nebulous gray area in the world of professional wrestling. It's like when you have all these companies doing iPay-per-views and signing their guys to contracts, they're worried about some other company coming along and cannibalizing their business and, using their guys maybe a way that they haven't thought of or just a way that they're not capable of doing. Whereas us, we...
Like a non-threatening West Coast, just island.
Yeah, it's like we're just these, like, laid-back dudes that just enjoy putting on awesome wrestling shows. We're not trying to, steal away anybody's iPay-per-view audience. We're not trying to, you know, we're not running against people and trying to prevent them from using our guys or whatever like that. You know, it's, we're kind of happy occupying this, you know, this niche that we're in, and that allows us to, you know, to be very, very lucky and then have a great amount of cooperation from the promotions that we do try to work with. You know, I mean, like this Dragon Gate deal is, you know, I mean, while it's not something that happens regularly, but if their guys are in town or something like that, you know, like when Yamato was in town and Tozawa for the first, for their, DDT4, when they came in together, I think that was 2 years ago. You know, it's like Yamato was, I think it was, there was a Dragon Gate show either the week before or the week after, and he was just in town. And so that kind of worked out. And so it's like they're happy to do that with, you know, to do that kind of, or have that kind of relationship with us if it's, you know, if it's mutually beneficial. And so, and, you know, so far for all parties, it has been. And so, I mean, that's something that we're going to, I guess, continue working on and continue cultivating just so we can keep on making these awesome Never in Your Wildest Dreams type matches.
And the last question from the message boards is, do you keep in contact with any of the, quote, PWG legends of the past, namely Chris Bosh, Quicksilver, or Scott Lost? And do you ever think any of them would return?
I haven't talked to Bosh and Quicksilver in quite some time. I think the last...
I want to add Top Gun Tall War to that list.
I saw Top Gun about a month ago. But the last time I saw Chris Bosh and Quicksilver was at the San Diego Comic-Con a couple of years ago, and they were dressed as the Ghostbusters, and they had a homemade proto-pack, which actually looked pretty awesome. But
I think I saw a picture. I saw a picture of Bosh, at least.
Yeah, and so that was the last time I saw those guys, and they both seemed very happy not wrestling anymore. And, you know, I can't begrudge them that. You know, it's like I've spent more time being a commentator in my career than I actually have spent being a wrestler.
Wow, really?
But yeah, I think so. You know, I think I only wrestled for maybe 4.5 or 5 years, and I've been commentating.
Oh,
just
Jesus Christ, I thought you wrestled a lot longer than that.
No, I've wrestled from, I think, 2001 till 05 or 06.
05, jeez. Yeah, I guess when I think about it, that was. But it feels like it was more recently that you hung up the boots, but I guess it was all the way back in 05.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's been quite some time. And so, you know, I mean, I enjoy staying involved in wrestling because while it's not something I'm as passionate about as I once was, it's still something that I enjoy, and it's still, you know, a way for me to talk to these people that I've grown to become friends with. And, you know, as far as Bosh and Quicksilver are concerned, those are guys that, you know, the guys that they broke into to wrestling with, you know, like Scorpio Sky and those guys, they're still friends. They still see each other, and they don't necessarily need wrestling as that kind of outlet. And so I think they're kind of happy just being away from it. And so, you know, if they're happy, then I'm happy. As far as Scott Lost, I talked to him a couple weeks ago. He just bought a house. He's really busy with that.
Good for him.
He's building up his man cave, which is a term I absolutely deplore. But you know, it's whatever. You know, if you're a single guy living in a house, then your entire house is your man cave. But yeah, so he's doing that. He's busy with that. And then Top Gun Tall War is. He's traveling the world. He's making big bucks. He's buying $1,200 pairs of Italian leather shoes. He's far more successful in his career than he could have ever have been in a million years of professional wrestling.
That's amazing. I didn't know the Top Gun Tall War was such a mover and shaker in this world.
He drives a BMW. He's the president of his homeowners association in his condo.
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Top Gun Tower is doing quite well for himself.
Oh, good for him. Good for him. He'll be able to have lots of tuxedos and not wrestle in tuxedo matches now.
That's true. You know, they actually did a second tuxedo match, Joey.
Oh.
And it was some indie here in San Diego. For whatever reason, they decided to do it again, and I don't know how it went.
They wanted to remove the scarring of the first match from their minds, or
if it were me, I would actually try to make that match worse than the first one, just so people remembered how bad they were.
Yeah, the legacy. Now, I've got a very big question to ask you, Excalibur, and that is, I know you love PWG, and your heart will always be with PWG, but are you looking to use your commentary experience and, more importantly, your experience on this show right here to make a foray into Florida Championship Wrestling? Because that's apparently a winning combination to get a gig in FCW.
Hey, let me tell you, I was just a little bit jealous of Bobby Nails. Because if somebody wanted to pay me, a fair amount of money to just sit and talk about wrestling for, if they wanted to pay me to do that, I might be kind of happy to do it. I mean, California is nice. Florida, it's kind of a shithole, but there are nice parts. But I don't know. I mean, if that offer came along, I would have to, it would depend on how much they paid me because I do all right for myself. But, I don't know. Congratulations to him, man. I mean,
he is living the dream.
That's huge for him.
He's hanging and banging with Dusty Rhodes, Norman Smiley, all those guys. Idol Stevens.
and good for him, man. You know, it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. And it would be nice to have that kind of opportunity. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm 31 years old. I'm in my career away from wrestling. I'm happy with where I'm at. And so in order to give all of that up to pursue, a career in wrestling might be asking a lot, but if the right offer came along, I would definitely consider it. And I think that was a much more serious and heartfelt answer that you were looking for to that lighthearted question.
But it was a very good answer all the same. Four or five years ago, whenever it was, when WWE were talking about opening like territories up all around the world, and they were going to have like a UK territory of WWE, and I just thought it was just the silliest, stupidest idea in the world. But now I'm thinking, well, bring it on. I might have a job in the future from that.
Well, I think if they're plumbing the depths for employees in as terms of internet podcast hosts, as opposed to the non-internet podcast, but I think you'll be right at the top of the list.
Damn right. I'll get to work with who'd play the Dusty Rhodes role in a UK territory, maybe like Robbie Brookside or someone. Me and Robbie Brookside will be booking the shows. But Excalibur, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. We've covered all the bases regarding PWG here today, and it's a free show, so anything you want to plug, be my guest.
I would like to just take a quick moment, talk about my fantasy football team.
Yes.
The Bon Vivant Juggalos. We are currently in first place, 9-2 record, though I just did read that Adrian Peterson will not be playing this weekend, which puts a very big...
Are you in the playoffs this weekend? Or still?
No, not yet. This is, I think, one weekend before the playoffs. Okay. So, I mean, I guess that's an okay thing to have, but still a little worried about him going forward, especially because the prize for winning the regular season is much smaller than it is for winning, your league's championship, which I think is completely asinine in reverse to how it should be, because all the hard work is put in securing a good record for your team during the regular season, and the playoffs is just kind of random. You know, guys might be injured, guys, your top stars.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. I may just have to subscribe to that theory.
Because, I mean, you think about it, you're making wheeling and dealing all throughout the regular season. That's where all the hard work comes in. And then the playoffs, it just comes down to luck. And then, like, if somebody like Adrian Peterson goes down, or, if somebody clinches the playoffs and they sit, whoever their starting quarterback, which happens to be your starting quarterback, for example, that's not something that you can control. And that's not something that, it's not somebody that you'll be easily replacing off the, you know, off the waiver wire. Like what? Oh, they're New England's sitting Tom Brady this week, so I'm going to pick up Josh Freeman. Like, that's just ridiculous. And so, yeah, I don't think the championship should be the big prize. I think the regular season should be the big prize. And this is coming from a guy with Adrian Peterson and Tom Brady on his team in first place currently that I don't think I will be winning my league's playoffs.
Oh, a thing that irks me is that I'm actually in two leagues for the first time this year. One is a keeper league, which is was an interest, a 2QB keeper league, and no less. But in that league, it's two blocks of five teams, and they've made it so that three teams from each block go through to the playoffs, which I find is ridiculous, because in one of the blocks, like, one team I think is like 10-1. And then, like, the team in third is like 5-6 and 5. Like, yeah, so it's like they'll all go into the playoff. And I think there might be a bye involved for the teams to finish first, which kind of makes it a bit better. But still, like, I mean, a team with a pretty middling average regular season record could just get lucky one week in the final of the playoffs and beat the team that was almost flawless throughout the regular season.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, you know, I mean, I guess that is the way of professional sports or whatever.
I suppose that's the way, like, the NFL works as well, so.
Yeah.
It actually, it's quite similar.
But yeah, but I mean, if your first week of the playoff, you know, your first fantasy week playoffs is the last week of the regular season, and they're playing their third string, then yeah, that kind of sabotages you, and so.
Yeah, very true. And I assume you're a Detroit Lions fan, am I correct? No, Chargers. Wait, no. You are Detroit Lions
fan. Yeah. Okay. I was, you know, born and raised there, so that's
Yeah, that's what I thought, but it got into my head for some reason as I said that maybe you were a Chargers fan, but the Lions started promisingly, but bad Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that was a rough game, but I mean, you know, we're used to the rough Thanksgiving games, we being the team, or the fans, not the team. I hate when people refer to themselves as part of the team. But, yeah, and so, you know, the thing I was most disappointed about was seeing Sue do the Texas Mudhole stunt.
Yes. Has anything come out in the recent days about that? Because I know immediately the night it happened, he was quoted as saying it wasn't intentional and he doesn't apologize or whatever. So,
but then he did end up apologizing.
Did he? He
said,
okay.
Yeah. Or well, I mean, he said I think it was like kind of like a hedged apology, like, oh, I'm sorry if I did do it, but I don't think I did it. but yeah, the league is going to review it on Monday, and they'll probably suspend him for maybe the rest of the season.
Yeah, he's proven to be a bit of a character since he kind of got into the league. So a violent character. Maybe he should join the Appetite for Destruction.
But you know what? He's actually, he fits right in with the Detroit sports philosophy. You think about the Detroit Pistons in the mid to late 80s, the Bad Boy Pistons. You know, Bill Laimbeer, Rick Mahorn, Dennis Rodman, Isaiah Thomas, and Joe Dumars. I mean, these are guys that were just, I mean, they were taking cheap shots, but except if you were a fan of Detroit, that wasn't a cheap shot. That was completely justified. But if you were a fan of one of the other teams in the league that were getting cheap shotted by Detroit, it was just completely uncalled for. So, you know, I mean, there is a bit of a tradition of that in Detroit, and yeah, I'm glad Sue's embracing it. I wish, you know, they had been a little closer to clinching a playoff spot or something before he decided to do that.
Yeah, true. Maybe he'll show up. Maybe it'll be a swerve, and the Young Bucks will bring him in to tackle the Appetite for Destruction tag team. He'll be their secret weapon.
That would be phenomenal. I don't think anything could make me. You know, like I thought I was happy with just having Dick Togo on the show, but then having Dick Togo and now we can Sue on the show would just be huge.
It really would. Well, on that note, Excalibur, thanks so much for coming on. Everyone, if you are listening to this and you're not a member of the site, F4WOnline.com, WrestlingObserver.com, we have lots of great shows. We have the Wrestling Observer newsletter, the Figure Four weekly newsletter, a message board with them, which I can only really plug for my own personal section on there, because the rest of it is questionable at best. And yeah, lots of other good things. So sign up for the site, $10.99 a month, well worth your money. You can sign up and just download all the audio that's ever happened on the site and then leave with all of that and never have to sign up again if you feel so inclined. Or you can become a loyal customer and pay every month, whichever you want. But check that out. Future
and
shows.
I'd also like people to check out www.prowrestlinggorilla.com.
Another fine site.
You could find lots of information and merchandise relating to, surprisingly, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. You can also follow us on Twitter at OfficialPWG or find us on Facebook. We are, I think, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, whatever. There's a link to it on the bottom of our page.
I didn't realize you guys are on Facebook. I'll have to look that up. But, check out all that stuff. Support PWG. Support wrestling. Thanks for listening, everybody. Excalibur, thank you once again for coming on. And, we might have to get in touch with you. Christmas is coming up, and I don't think it would be a Dr. Key Presents Christmas show without Excalibur. We might even have to reunite Dr. Key and Excalibur for one more time on the Christmas show. We'll talk about that in the weeks to come. But, thanks so much, buddy.
No, thank you so much. I love doing the show, and if myself, you, and Keith were to reunite, that
let's get Disco, let's get Disco Machine in that mix too. Why not? We've had him. I think it was you and Disco Machine the last two Christmas shows we had you on together. So we'll bring him back. Bring Keith on. I definitely don't think I'll get a word in edgeways on that show. but I am fine with that. So that's something to look forward to around Christmas time. So everyone, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again soon. Bye, everybody.